Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. Look who's in this studio with us.
Thanks for visiting.
He's our official alderman. He actually is the alderman for our building right here. So we have him in, and we have a coffee clatch with him.
Mm-hmm.
We do this every couple of weeks.
And you point out the window at buildings, say, what's happening there?
Right.
What's going on there? Over here, is that going to be touched? Are we going up high here, low here?
Very
what you do.
Interested in how the neighborhood's going. But more so, I'm interested in how the hell the city is going, because he basically tells us everything because we threaten not to let him out. So here's a couple of things. Let's start with the fact that the city of Chicago is, you know, kind of broke. And there's a big question about Mayor Lightfoot. She went down to Springfield. She tried to get some money out of Springfield. Springfield basically said no, because the people who are not Chicago in this state, whether it's the suburbs, which they tend to be a little more favorable to us, especially the ones that join us.
Mm-hmm.
But then the further out suburbs, their representatives tend not to want to help the city. And then especially outstate, downstate, they don't want to help the city at all.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, regionalism is alive and well in Illinois, and what you just described is perfectly on spot. The other complicating factor is that we're heading into primary season, and we have a lot of state legislators who are going to have primary opponents. And so if you aren't within the city of Chicago in one of those other caucuses, downstate, southern Illinois, suburban, anything you do to help the city of Chicago will be used against you by your opponents, and that's a real problem. So the timing could not have been worse for the mayor. I think, though, I don't look at her visit to Springfield, though, as a failure. I think it was a success in that at least she started to build relationships with rank-and-file legislators that the city is clearly going to need over the next 3 years to help manage our budget. So I think when she went down there, she knew there wasn't going to be any spiking the football in the end zone for her.
Mm-hmm.
But she knew she had to start working on these relationships, whether the play is to get something done in January in the final days of veto session or in the spring when the legislature is done with a full session. Either way, you need to cultivate those relationships. I think it was really smart that she went down there and did that.
The headline I saw from the budget that came out was that there are no real large or significant property tax increases. There were those minor ones that have been talked about in recent days, but
right.
That she constantly heard when she was on the campaign trail and beyond from people who said, please don't raise them anymore. It's already hurting too much. So she honored that promise, it seems, and that she said, I can't guarantee that forever, I saw the quote, if we don't get that casino. Comes back to that in Springfield in the spring session. Will they come through for it?
Well, right. And actually, I wouldn't say it ends with just the casino. Has to happen. And I think that will get done, because let's remember, the other prime beneficiary of that revenue is the state of Illinois. So they have a very strong interest in getting that
revenue.
They're
getting even more money than the city, as
exactly.
It turns out.
So for them, you know, that's a revenue stream they want to get going quick. So I do think that will be resolved. The real estate transfer tax, I still think, no matter when she tries to get that done, will be a very, very heavy lift for this mayor, any mayor.
It only applies to the city.
Correct. And here's the thing.
Heavy lift politically, or heavy lift with all the rest of the politicians, the state reps and things like that? Because downstate, what do they care?
Well, again, it's an easy vote against, quote, a tax increase. But all it does technically is allow the city council to raise this tax, right?
Right.
However, as someone who used to author nasty direct mail pieces about opponents, I can tell you can twist that thing around into a tax increase, even if it doesn't apply to your own constituents. And so for those folks, that's an easy anti-tax vote, which makes them look good. So, yeah, even though they shouldn't really care about our future and don't,
But they'd have to go explain that to somebody who's just getting a mailer.
You get a mailer, it's real juicy, and you throw it away.
Or whatever. I mean,
conversation over.
We just see this in politics right now. You're watching it every single day, locally, federally, it's the same thing. You take just one little soundbite, and you're just praying nobody really paid attention to the details.
That's it. People have been massaging facts all day long today.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it's in that musical about Alexander Hamilton. You know, it's in there. I think they got a musical number about massaging of the facts or so. Massaging in there. I can't remember what it was.
It's not new.
Yeah. So do you think that there is a pathway out for the city of Chicago? And do you think that now there is forever a bow broken? Well, let's start with that. Pathway out, yes or no?
Of course.
Okay. Is this relationship with downstate and outstate? Because you got, every once in a while, it's been going on my whole life. People have been talking downstate Illinois, like, let's get out of, let's get Chicago out. And Chicago's like, okay.
Right,
we'll see. We'll be okay. but there is. It seems to me, you know, more momentum. You got a couple of, you know, loudmouth, the dirty tricksters that are constant, you know, basically the Paul Manafort's and Roger Stones of Illinois that have been out there for a long time, right? Mm-hmm. They've been out there doing this, trying to stir this pot. Is that ever real?
No, I mean, look, I think that this mayor, because she is a political outsider, I mean, most literally, has a better chance to build some bipartisan relationships in Springfield. She already has a friendship with Leader Durkin in the House.
Hold on one second. I'm going to pick you up on the other side of that. We want to talk about that. Oh, and speaking of the House. But first, Lauren Lapka, what's on the roads and the skies? All right, Alderman Brendan Riley is with us, and he's got important things to say. All right, we were talking a little bit about the relationship right before we took the break about downstate and the city and how people, because, you know, most of the people listening to us right now and the, you know, million people listening, whatever it is, you know, most of them don't live inside the city, right? 20-30% of them live inside the city, whatever that is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so when we look at this, we have to look at it also from the perspective of how suburban and exurban and even downstate, right? Mm-hmm. The Orion Samuelson crowd that is down there making sure that the soybean prices are stabilized.
Love the farm report.
Right.
Absolutely.
They need to know, like, where this is. And I think a lot of them look at this and turn around and go, well, why would we help the city of Chicago? What good would that be for us?
Well, kind of like how downtown is the city of Chicago's economic engine. The city of Chicago is the state's economic engine, and we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let's be real here. The city of Chicago heavily subsidizes the rest of the state. And so to assist the city from time to time, especially when it's dealing with a financial crisis, that I think is in everybody's interest in the state. And I think that this mayor can make a strong argument because she's an outsider. She doesn't carry the baggage of being a member of the Chicago Democratic machine. And you could make the boogeyman figure work with a Rich Daley or a Rahm Emanuel. Mm-hmm. She's someone completely different who already has some existing relationships with prominent Republicans in Illinois. And so you can, you know, there's nowhere to go but up. And I think that's worth a try. And she, you know, while she's focusing right now on building relationships with members of the City of Chicago caucus in the House and Senate, I think the next step is then to start building relationships with our suburban legislators on both sides of the aisle and then work her way to central Illinois. They'll probably disagree 8 out of 10 times. But if you can get help on 2 of those issues over the course of a few years, that can make a big difference for the city of Chicago and our budgeting.
When will we see a Chicago casino, do you think? If you had to sort of just say, hey,
you're
this
mispronouncing
is what
it is.
Casino?
Thank you. Willie Wilson
those who
says
go casino.
Well, I don't want to jinx it because, you know, the state of Illinois has tried for so long to get a casino in Chicago. I mean, they were working on it when I worked in Springfield, and that was back in the early 90s. I think, though, because the state has such a strong stake, such a large stake in the revenue piece, they'll be motivated to get that done by the end of spring session.
So they'll make the changes that they need to make in Springfield to make this happen here in terms of revenue shares, because the casino operators are all coming around and saying, hey, we can't, whatever your terms of us operating in the city of Chicago, they don't make sense for us.
No, it's a lot of risk on the front end for the developer and the casino operator, a ton. Mm-hmm. You have to pay out many, many millions of dollars just to get in the door. And then you only get a promise of a 1.5% margin.
Right.
Why on earth would you take that risk?
Right. Most business
people passed. They did not.
And that's what the study that was commissioned by the mayor shows, that everyone would take a pass.
Who got paid for that? I'd like to know.
It was an independent group of casino operators.
Casino operators? Yeah.
I don't know.
I like to always think. I think like my Walter Jacobson years, you know, they don't leave me. I'm always thinking like that. Who paid for that?
Well,
who did what?
But at the end of the day, it proved what they already knew because people weren't coming forward to put their bids forward. And
that's
talked
right
to someone who is in that area who would have been one of those people who would have brought a bid to Chicago and decided not to because it was not financially feasible.
Yeah, I mean, compared to the other casinos in Illinois, mm-hmm, Chicago's was completely impaired. I mean, the profit margins for the other casinos in this state are healthy.
Right.
And those are good investments for those people. This thing was a joke. I mean, this would be like risking, you know, opening a franchise with a Steak and Shake or something like
MGM
that.
MGM wouldn't even look at it. I mean, no. there are all kinds of stories that just showed it was absolutely true. We were not going to get a casino under the current fee structure, and the onerous results of that study you cited were actually true. I know what Rose pointing out. In the past, we've seen that where you're like, okay, all right, they're just trying to make a fatter deal for the casinos. In this case, I really don't think that was the case.
No one really pushed back on the results.
I'm not even making that argument. I'm just saying that I want to know who did the study, because that was not necessary.
It's a public document. we'll get it to you.
I just want to know who do we pay for that. Anyway, Joey the Fish. How you doing?
Guys on Grand Avenue?
Yeah, I got it.
Who's asking?
I got it all worked out. I got it right here. Hold on.
Forget about it.
I lost it. I hand wrote it. Here you go. this is the essence, though, of the problem that we find ourselves in, especially in this kind of a political environment where, because you've got social media and you've got other stuff, every opinion is of equal weight and it is not. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people that get activated. You know, it's funny, we were talking about there was a protest downtown today around City Hall about the closing of mental health facilities. Now, I got to tell you, I got skin in this game. Because I've got, my sister's special needs and has availed herself of state facilities and stuff like that throughout, you know, our family has availed themselves of that. Mm-hmm. I understand this. And I always hate when, especially the profoundly developmentally disabled, especially when they're held up. It's one of the reasons I still want Blagojevich in jail. When he had a press conference where he's putting all these people who are in need and saying, hey, you know, if I don't get what I want, these people are all going to, basically, you know, there's that we got to cut the funding. I'm trying to save the funding from the state.
Remember
I hate that when that is, and you know, Pat Quinn did it too. Really bothered me. A lot of governors have done this where they stand up and they go, listen, unless we get this passed, which has nothing to do with it, we're going to have to cut the funding.
Using constituencies like human shields, basically.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Right. I mean, Saddam Hussein did it. Look what happened to him.
Yeah, didn't work.
He ripped
out
his head off.
Yeah, not so good.
This is now, this is the debate that's happening here because the city of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, shut some mental health facilities.
He did.
There were City of Chicago funded mental health facilities and then referred those clients over to federal or state systems.
Right.
Right. That had the same level of service theoretically.
Correct.
Okay. But in the meantime,
we still do have some city facilities.
Right. But in the meantime, there's a protest to get those city facilities back.
Right. Right.
Now, I'm not saying that there's enough mental health facilities because I know there are not. But what really is it the way I'm looking at this, what really is at root of this protest and this, oh, look at this, we need more mental health facilities, which I don't disagree with the premise, but it's really about a union that got shut out. AFSCME got shut out of the city, right?
That's certainly a
is that
a big,
true?
It's a big ingredient in this whole controversy,
right,
for sure.
That particular union got shut out, and they're saying, well, you know, where are our jobs in this?
Right.
Is it really about where are the services? Because I got to tell you something, as the guardian, custodian of a client of that, I can tell you, I can't find the stuff that I am looking for, but I'm not worried about the unions here. I'm worried about the services.
Right. Well, kind of a multi-pronged question, and I'll try and answer it quickly, but I think everyone would want to put more money into mental health funding at the City of Chicago. And in fact, this budget does inject a large amount of money, millions of new dollars for just that purpose. It's just that new money is not being used to reopen old facilities and put back to work City of Chicago union employees. That money is being invested directly in the federally qualified healthcare clinics that a lot of these clients are going to see now. I think we need a broader network. I'm agnostic on how we get there, whether the city reopens some facilities or not. I do think we need a better network for the clients that are being served. And I think we need to do a much better job promoting where the clinics are physically located and for what types of services. That has not been done well by the City of Chicago since I've been alderman. And like you, I've had skin in that game as well. So that's something I take very seriously. But this mayor has already assigned another $9 million plus to support mental health services in Chicago, and I think that's a good first step.
As a famous former alderman once said to me, and he was not wrong because he knew what he was talking about, in Chicago, not even fishing is on the square. And that may well very much be true. Is there anything, before we let you go, Alderman, about the Bears? Can we move the Bears? Could we somehow trade out? Could we do a swap with New England and get them? And then
we don't want New England.
No, all right.
We want Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't want New England. I want a Bears team. I want them to be Chicago Bears. I just want all new personnel. Just coaching. That's all I'm asking for. I want
can
the same
uniform. Can you work that
uniform.
Out in yeah. city council
see,
for
see
us?
See if you can do that for us.
That's, next time I visit, I'll have a
thank
solution
you.
For
thank you.
Me.
That's one of the things.
Feeling better now.
I would like from you, Alderman Riley.
Yes,
all
sir.
Right. I'd also want to look out the window and look at some of these buildings with you in just a few minutes, but we won't waste the time of the listeners with that. We got news coming your way from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2 minutes.